All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Everybody. It is the Fresh Start Show with Dr. Holt. Listen, we are excited about today, and we are excited as we're getting just a week away, just exactly 1 week away from our great event that's taking place. And so we're excited. We're feeling the energy. So if you're waking up this morning, you always hear me say it every day, every weekend, every Saturday morning. Let's go. Let's get up. It's the Fresh Start Show. Get your coffee, get your bagel, get your donut, get your cream of wheat. It's getting ready for the Fresh Start Show. Listen, it's going down exactly 1 week. You heard me. Exactly 1 week away. Fresh Start Expo is here. October 22nd, 9 a.m. You want to get there early. We're expecting a whole lot of people this coming year. Last year, we served around 400 people. And we didn't even have a radio show or a podcast then. So just imagine the word getting out. We're expecting double, even triple the numbers on just a week away. Who is the Fresh Start Expo for? It's for your son, your daughter, your niece, your nephew, your cousin, them, your uncle, your auntie, whoever's been incarcerated. We're here to help you. We're here to make a difference. We're here, like our mission says, where everyone deserves a new beginning. We actually believe in that. That's not just something that sounds cute on paper or on the website. We actually apply our vision statement. We apply our mission statement day by day, helping calming people who have made some bad choices in life. We don't believe that they should be stuck with almost with a life sentence because they have a felony on their name, that they can't get housing, they can't get jobs. And so that's what we're here for. We're here to give people a fresh start, not a second chance, because many of us know that if we've blown our second, we've blown our third, we've blown our fifth chance. So at some point, we just need a fresh start. And so that's what we're excited for. Listen, we got a great, great show for you, great episode for you on today. I have my good friend here that's been working with me with Fresh Start. She's been involved since last year. She's worked on the Fresh Start Expo Steering Committee. She's been an integral part, make sure that we have the resources that we need to help you and help our community. And so we're excited to have Jennifer Ekstrom. You heard me. Jennifer Ekstrom, the one who was the former mayor of South Tucson at the age of 18. Can you imagine just graduating high school and have the responsibility of a city's budget? Can you imagine that? I can't even fathom that in my head. Making sure that funding for first responders, police and fire, and dealing with city council meetings at 18. I know people in their 40s and 50s sometimes pull their hair out dealing with the stress running a city. I'm so amazed at that. I mean, like you don't even know what you really want to do at 18. You know you got a cap and gown. You know you have a high school diploma. You pretty even don't even know what college you want to go to at this point, let alone a major. And this lady was running a city. This is just amazing, and I'm just impressed. But you guys got to get to know Jennifer. Jennifer is a classy woman that is hardworking, who's straight up grassroots. You know, I'm not bringing no fake people on my show. You know, if they on the show, they got credibility, they have integrity, and they have proven results of just really looking out for members of the community who are struggling with socioeconomical challenges or communities of color. And so we're excited. And so she is making her bid as a candidate for the Tucson Unified School District's governing board. And I'm telling you right now, Jennifer, someone you will want to have on the board that's going to care about your kids and care about families, care about poor communities and students of color. This show is straight up. We don't cut any corners. We're not scared of anybody. We talk about the real issues. We speak truth. You hear me say it all the time. If we don't keep kids behind books, we're going to have to worry about them being behind bars. And that is a fact. Arizona is also a prison state, a private prison state, and they don't mind building bars for our kids. And so we want to make sure that we have the right policymakers on our boards who are strongly advocating for our children and children of color. It's no secret. You hear me say it all over. I'm going to say it today, that it is true that black and brown kids are suspended and arrested 3 to 6 times more than their white counterparts. And so we want to make sure that we have people advocating for our students of color, making sure that there's equity and pedagogy and in education, and making sure that we have a school discipline that is equitable and equal for all kids. All these things matter. I know sometimes we don't think about these things until the problems knock on our door, but we need to have proactive strategies and policies for our kids. And so I'm not going to take too much of her time, because I want her to be talking about why she's running and the benefits that we would get from her being on the board and her experience previously as being a former mayor of a city. We're just excited to have Jennifer with us, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Holt. It's a pleasure to be here today. Well, one of the reasons why I decided to run for TOSD school board, honestly, was during COVID. We saw how school boards were attacked for trying to do the right thing to keep our kids safe, and really going, having to go to a remote learning. We saw a lot of inequities in our community, and we really need to bridge those gaps. So we had kids who didn't have access to internet, who are actually doing their homework in parking lots of libraries and restaurants. And that's something that we shouldn't have to deal with and we shouldn't have to face as a community. Kids didn't have access to computers and laptops. And while TUSD did the best that they could with the short time that they had, we realized those inequities and those need to be fixed right away. So that's really why I decided to run for school board. And I'm a mom of a second grader, and I feel that we really need parents' vision on the school board to see how we can move TUSD forward.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I'm excited for your campaign. I'm excited for the opportunity, if you're voted in, the great things I think you're going to do for our school board. So tell us about your experience. You know, you heard me talk about 18 years old as a former mayor. What was that like? What did it take for you? What did a campaign look like for an 18-year-old? That's really thought-provoking. And where that passion come from?
So my brother and I were raised by our parents to be the best we could be for our community, and that was South Tucson. I was born and raised in South Tucson. I grew up there. My dad and mom, you know, were always in the community doing things for others. So at a really young age, we were participating in different things such as, you know, Christmas presents, giving food to the elderly. It's just something that we grew up doing. So at 18, there was a council member who was stepping down and not going to run for election. So one day around the dinner table, I just said, well, what if I did this? And that's all really my dad needed to hear. To get the ball rolling, because, you know, up until then I liked politics and I loved government and history, but you know, I never really thought about going to politics. And from there, that set a whirlwind of of things happening. So yeah, it was a lot. At 18, I had just graduated, so I was probably 6 months into going to the university, and it really just set off a whole lot of things going on. I wasn't mayor at 18. It took some time for me to be mayor. The last 5 years of my public service to South Tucson, I was the mayor. But at 18 still, you had people coming out of the woodwork who knew you and didn't know you, who said, she should not be there. She does not have the experience.
Yeah.
She's only 18.
Yeah.
What is she doing?
Yeah.
And that's hard for an 18-year-old, because you had people that you've loved your whole life that you thought were family friends who've turned against you. Mm. My mom at the time, she's like, Mija, you're only 18. You need to live your life. You need to make sure that you're doing things 18-year-olds should be doing. So I really took that to heart. And I did have, you know, a life. I lost some boyfriends along the way, but you know, they weren't really meant to be. It's hard to let your partner shine and to have somebody that, you know, is really there for you to let them shine. So at a young age, I learned, you know, who was important in your life and who wasn't. So, you know, a lot of things happened, but I got my seat, and I was lucky enough to run with people who I had known my whole life. And they really embraced me and wanted me to be a part of the council. So that was important to me too.
Wow. This is just amazing. See, it's getting good. So we're excited to have Miss Jennifer Ekstrom on the show. Real quick, we're going to take a commercial break with one of our sponsors with the League of Women Voters. And we'll be right back with Jennifer Ekstrom.
Did you know there are 10 propositions on the November ballot? The League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to learn about all 10 initiatives, their effects, and pros and cons on October 15th at 10 a.m. by Zoom. The League of Women Voters encourages you to get informed about the ballot questions you will decide. October 15th at 10 a.m. Visit lwvtucson.org to register. That's lwvtucson.org.
All right. We are so thankful for our sponsor, the League of Women Voters, who took a chance on me and my vision of getting this show and podcast going. So again, thank you, Nancy, and your team with the League of Women Voters. We truly, truly appreciate you. Without you and your support and you believing in us, we would not be able to get the message out and speak truth to power and talk about the struggles of being incarcerated. So we're back with Jennifer Ekstrom. Wow, the powerful testimony talking about that. I think that is very important because it gives young people hope that they can remove the glass ceiling. Being a woman in this country removes the glass ceiling off, and then a woman of color as well. So there's many different factors why this is important. So talk about, were you able to bring inspiration to young people?
And that was one of the most special things to me in my time and career as mayor and council member in South Tucson, is speaking to young kids and having them see at the age of 18, you could and do anything that you wanted to do. So those special times that I was able to talk to kids and really just be real with them, I would say, this is who I am, but I'm going to give you this chance to ask me anything you want, and I'm going to tell you the truth. And so I had questions like, have you ever been in a fight? Have you ever done this? Have you ever done drugs? And, you know, yeah, I had been in a fight. No, I had never done drugs. And I think me being honest with them, it gave them the inspiration to be like, okay, here's somebody who's in this higher up position, but is willing to be real and is willing to work in the community. And that was the most special and important thing that I got done as a council member and as mayor.
Wow. You know, since I met you, I've been impressed with you. And, you know, I've always said, hey, you my sis, we going to do this. We got to get you into these spaces. And I mean that, you know, and I always want to get you to the show and get your voice out, you know, and I'm not, you know, I do the best I can not to bring nonsense to the show, you know, just straight up. Right. So what would be first 100 days on the governing board? What's your top three concerns you want to start addressing?
Well, I would like to address, of course, the budget. That's going to be huge, and that's going to guide everything that the board members prioritize. I want to prioritize teacher and staff retention, and that includes a raise. We need our people to make a livable wage. $15 is a good start, and it's the right start. But that's not a livable wage.
Right.
And that also includes our health benefits. So we have teachers and who are parents and have families who are unable to keep their families on the health insurance plan. And that's not right. A whole family should be able to be on a health insurance plan and have it be affordable. So that's something that I really want to look at. I know that the governing board worked really hard to get school, music, art, and PE into every school. But we're not seeing that in every school. So I think we need to bridge those inequity gaps. We have schools like Monzo and Ochoa who don't have those types of programs. And we really need to bring it to our South and West Side schools. I really want to be an advocate for our South and West Side schools because I grew up in South Tucson. I lived through the governing board trying to close Mission View and Ochoa twice. Mm. And coming together as a community, we were able to save the schools twice.
Wow. Wow.
So we really, you know, I'm going to be an advocate for those South and West Side schools. So that's one thing. And then our school safety plan, I think we really need to discuss and talk about that, because as a parent, I have no idea what the school safety plan is at my daughter's school. And that's huge for me. We see, you know, school shootings are becoming more and more in our everyday lives, which shouldn't be happening. And it's something that we need to discuss and talk about. I don't believe that we need SRO or police officers in our schools, because it does create the school-to-prison pipeline. Our police officers, while they are valuable, they do not have the training to deal with our children. And in discipline, they should not be there. So that's important to me. We need to bring in more counselors, more social workers, but that requires money. So that all comes down to the budget and the priorities in that budget. And that's what I intend to discuss with my colleagues.
That's awesome that you brought up there, because that was going to be my next question, addressing, you know, where was school discipline in your purview? Because, you know, you also running for a school district that's still on a DSEC order, that's still having some issues in regards to school discipline. We know that poor kids and kids of color suspended way more often than their white classmates, and bringing equity into that. And so I'm glad that you spoke on that, far as that being very, very important. Talk about more of the parenting side. How important it is for parents to really be engaged with their child's education?
I think that that's the most important thing that a child can receive, is their parents being engaged in their child's education. For example, I'm on the PTO at my daughter's school, and we only have a few parents that are able to be a part of that. And so we really are trying to focus on bringing our school community together, and that includes everybody. So we really are trying to focus in on how we bring these parents to the table, because we do need, you know, we want different perspectives in how to make our school better. And, you know, we're lucky that we have, you know, three people that are on the board right now for my daughter's PTO. But we really want those volunteers. But we also have to take a look at the realization that parents aren't available all day. They may only be available after work hours, and how we bring those parents to the table is really important. We have to take a look at that, families as a whole. We have grandparents living with kids, and, yes, and their moms and dads, and aunts and uncles and cousins. And we really need to take a look at the family as a whole, and how we bring families back to our schools, because we really should have great community schools, and families are the focal point of that.
All right. I love it. I love it. And we spoke about, especially coming out of, you know, coming out of COVID. And I think, you know, on my professional side, as a doctor that deals with trauma and things of that nature, early childhood traumas, you know, trauma and grief was off the chain, most definitely, you know, during COVID, trying to become a post-COVID educational system. And that's been really tough for kids. And I find it amazing we always can find funding for law enforcement, SROs, but there's still schools that don't even have one counselor. And that impacts kids, social emotional education and social emotional learning. So what are your thoughts on that in regards to being a board member, making sure that we can be addressing trauma and mental illnesses?
I think that's hugely important. So I was able to work from home. I was one of the lucky parents that was able to do that along with my husband. And, you know, you think that you're creating this safety bubble for your child, but all the while, their poor little minds are filled with anxiety because they're unable to see their friends. They're unable to see their grandparents and, you know, their extended family. And, you know, we thought, hey, we're doing a pretty good job in keeping our daughter, you know, learning that COVID is scary, but that we're all going to be okay. But come to find out that she had anxiety, and she has anxiety about us leaving her, about fire drills, mm-hmm. and, you know, just these simple little things. And if it wasn't for her teacher and counselor at her school, she probably would be scared all day, every day. So I'm really thankful and grateful for my daughter being able to have access to a counselor. So I can't imagine how other children who don't have access to a counselor are dealing with their mental health. So that's really a big priority for me. And that's why I keep saying we need counselors, we need social workers. Because, you know, maybe this child is dealing with not being able to have access to food at their home. And if that's something that a social worker can fix, then we should be utilizing that. We should be talking with our community partners. I feel like our community partners in this wonderful Pima County can come together and help school districts and figure out how to bridge those gaps. If we need rental and utility assistance, Pima County is there to help.
Yeah.
And how we get that information to parents, because it could be just something as simple as getting access to food or getting access to, we need to fix, you know, the family car to be able to bring our kids to school. These are some things that we as a community should be able to fix and should be wanting to fix.
Nice. So as a woman of color coming from the community of color, we know in this country way back when, dealing with times of civil rights and things of that nature, that voter suppression has been a major problem in this country. Even to this day, many states have been pushing, creating all kind of different type of legislation bills to make it hard for people of color to vote. How important as a Latina, how important that is to make sure that disenfranchised communities get out to vote?
Oh, it's hugely important, because you will see, or you have heard, it was communities of color. It was our Native brothers and sisters who brought Biden over the top and who helped him get elected. And if we want to change the way that our government is now, we need these communities of color to show up and to vote. And so it's so, so important. And that's why, you know, I walk in South Tucson, and I walk on the South Side to make sure that people understand that here's a girl from South Tucson who's going to keep showing up for South Tucson because I don't live there anymore. Anytime anybody asks me, what is your community? I go back to 8th Avenue, because that is my community, and that's where I was born and raised. That's where my mom and dad instilled in my brother and me, you know, this need for me to give back to my community. So I'm there. I'm 100%. I believe everybody should register to vote at 18. You can register before you turn 18 that year of your birthday. So I really, really think that, you know, I think our county recorder is doing a great job in promoting equity, and we just need to keep the focus there.
Awesome. I love it. We just got two more minutes left on the show. Can you tell us, in your last 60 seconds, working with Fresh Start on a personal basis, this would be your second year being with us, so they don't hear it just from me, right? It's like, yeah, I'm biased, right? I'm the founder of it. But coming in, working with us a second year, seeing what we did the last year and where we are this year, can you tell City of Tucson, like, what is Fresh Start really like from your lens?
Oh, Fresh Start is hugely important, and it's changed my life, really. I was put on the committee because of my job. I work with Pima County, and I work with Linda Leatherman, who used to have my job before then. And she said, you know, you really need to work with Fresh Start, and this is what it's all about. And I came in, we helped raise some dollars, and actually being at that expo and seeing people come in and have their lives changed, that stays on your heart. And I just want to continue. Even if I didn't work for Pima County, I would still want to be with Fresh Start, because Fresh Start is changing lives. It's making the community a better place for everyone. And I think if we all have access to being able to squash warrants and marijuana expungement and things like that, you know, we're on the path to having people be complete. And that's what Fresh Start does.
Wow. Well, it is truly an honor to have the Honorable Jennifer Ekstrom being with us, former mayor, working for the county and the faith-based initiatives and now looking to run for school board and get on the board and make some great changes. We are so thankful and honored for you to take time out of your busy schedule. We most definitely are the Fresh Start family. You are part of the Fresh Start family, and we're still a baby. I'm scared what it's going to look like a few years from now. We're getting people asked for Fresh Start in Phoenix now. We got people asked for Fresh Start in Atlanta. Just someone talked to me. They said, well, what do you think about L.A. and Oakland? I'm like, oh, shoot. So we're just excited. We just thank God. God has really gave us the vision to just help people that really needs to help, that have been looked over. So, again, thank you, Ms. Ekstrom, for being with us on today. We're closing out. Make sure you check us out. TCC, October 22nd, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., the Fresh Start Expo. We're here where we want to give everybody a fresh start. God bless. Have a wonderful Saturday morning.